I can see your dirty pillows. Everyone will.
Dale, I have something important to tell you.
Okay. You know you can tell me anything.
I appreciate that. I do. Yeah, I know. I mean, you don't always have an open mind about everything, especially whatever. We know we have a troubled relationship in that way. But Dale, excuse me.
I didn't think so, but okay. Sounds like you need more closet time, but okay. Tell me.
I am going to the prom.
No, you're not.
I think I might be going to the prom this year.
Hmm.
A very nice young man, William Catt, he asked me to go. And I mean, Dale, if you would look at his hair, you would agree that I should go to the prom, despite all of your misgivings about
many misgivings about William Catt or any man.
Yeah.
And as soon as the bloodletting starts, that's when the hounds come, because they smell the blood and they want to find out where it's coming from.
Yeah, I never.
And I was expecting this, but I wasn't prepared.
I never know what you're talking about with the whole bloodletting and then the smell. I'm too young, I guess. I just don't get this part of life.
Maybe it's because you're a sinner and you sin instead of keeping your nose in that good book.
Yeah.
And I don't care if William Catt is taking you to the prom or the greatest American hero is going to take you to the prom. Hmm. He's not taking you to the prom.
I think I'm going to go to the prom, though. I think I'm done letting you tell me what to do. I think I'm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going all out. I think I'm going to feel my oats on this one, Dale. I'm going to do what feels good in my heart and not and not follow the fear that you set out in front of me.
You think about if you go.
Uh-huh.
Because even if I tried my hardest to stop you from going, I want you to know that they are all going to laugh at you.
Mm.
They will all laugh at you. And I want you to think about electric-eyed Jesus in the prey closet the entire time you're there and what he thinks about you going to the prom.
I had a feeling you might say that. But again, I've been thinking about this long and hard, and I think this is a turning point in my life and I need to do this. Everyone else at school does it. I don't understand why we have to be different. So there it is. I'm going to the prom.
The boys. Yes, the boys. After the blood come the boys, like sniffing dogs, running and slobbering and trying to find out where that smell comes from, where the smell is. That smell.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween 2023. It's your good friends here at the show. We're doing a little special one-off where we talk about Brian De Palma's Carrie, Brian De Palma's Stephen King's William Catt's Carrie.
It's Halloween. And we wanted to do something for Halloween. And you know what? I haven't watched Carrie in probably 15 or 20 years.
Wow.
And I've been getting a hankering recently. So I says, Chuck, let's watch something and release it on Halloween.
Yeah. Right off the bat, Carrie, something about Carrie, Dale. I don't know if you feel this way. Well, maybe you wouldn't because it's been that long since you've seen it. But in my mind, I'm a De Palma head. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Love De Palma. But for some reason, Carrie, when I think of it, when someone brings it up in my head, I'm like, yeah, I like that movie, but it's not one I want to put on. Like, I'm like, eh, I don't know. For some reason, but God damn it, I put that on this afternoon. Oh my God. It's a perfect movie. Like,
yeah.
And maybe because it is such a strenuous and painful experience to watch Carrie go through her life that maybe that's why I never want to go into that feeling again, but it is such a good movie. It's so well put together. Just like everything comes together and it's this beautiful mix. It's just like all the perfect parts of everything you want. Even, mm-hmm. I mean, Carrie's theme alone, that song that just, it makes the hair on your back stand up.
Yeah. Pino Donaggio. I was watching the movie and I was in love with the score. I was in love with it.
Yeah.
And there was something about it that just triggered for me. And then I find out Pino Donaggio did the score, which is amazing.
Tell me about him.
Because
I don't know
only recently, did I learn about Pino Donaggio, but he's done a lot of De Palma scores, but he also did the movie Tourist Trap.
Oh, okay.
He did Piranha. He did Dressed to Kill.
Oh.
He did The Howling. He did The Black Cat, Fulci's Black Cat. Blowout, De Palma.
Mm.
Body Double, De Palma. Like, but he's got this subtle way of using like restrained electronics.
Mm.
In a way.
Yeah.
Except when, you know, when Carrie lets loose and it's like this raw, like scraping of a violin string or something.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so brutal.
Yeah. I really latched onto that when it happens. And I was like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
The old school way of doing it.
Do you have any sort of history with Carrie? The first time you saw it?
You know, no, I don't think I saw it until I was an adult, probably. It's weird because it's like, it's such a heralded title. Like it's one that's always, it's weird that like I have the Blu-ray in front of me and it has this, like the top quote is from the Los Angeles Times. It says, an all stops out scare show, which I would disagree with. And, you know, I think that's why it's a weird thing because it's like, it's always thrown in with like, oh, it's a horror movie. You know, it's like one of the great horror movies, but it's not, you know, it's more of a 70s bad boy director's movie where it's like this caricature of being a high school student where everything, maybe not a caricature, but it almost feels more like real high school because everything in Carrie's world is like cartoonified and accentuated. And I think that's what the music does so well. Like when they win the prom king and queen and the Carrie's theme swells up, you feel like you're in like a love movie, like you're in like a great Hollywood romance, like the way it plays with your emotions where you're just like, you know, what's coming for Carrie, but you can't help but get caught up in this like ever powerful good feeling that she's, you know, she's just floating on air. Like her whole world has changed, you know. but you know, it's just, oh, it's so insidious, this movie.
Yes. Yeah, that is a great word to describe this movie. And I probably saw Carrie. I definitely remember I was, you know, in my bedroom as a teenager on my 19-inch Symphonic.
Nice.
I remember asking for that Symphonic TV. It was on the front page of a circular for like Bradley's or something. Yes. And I asked for that for Christmas, and lo and behold, I got it. I got a TV in my room. But as a teen, probably a late teen, I watched this movie. It was on TV. It would have been a TV edit of it. But, you know, I immediately, obviously, identified with Carrie. There's times... Most times in my life, I felt like a Carrie kind of type person. And then, you know, the whole goddamn, like, I don't have to tell you, Chuck, but it's always stuck with me. And I used to make time for it. And then, you know, life got away or whatever. But it's been such a long time that I said, you know, I really want to watch it and I really want to watch it and find out why I really want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because I knew there was something about Carrie that wanted to make me go back to it. But man, you put it on and it's just so, the movie is so heartbreakingly good. And I remember by the end, it's, you know, it's just a masterpiece of a movie, but to get there, the journey is just so brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no fat on this pig. Is that the saying? This carcass of a movie, no fat. This thing.
There's no fat.
This thing moves. It does what, you know, like you and me, like I'm always in shock. I mean, that first scene is always like, I'm always, you know, going through the locker room with all the nude young women. Mm. And I'm like, you know, I'm on IMD checking all the actresses' ages to make sure this was above board.
I only check Travolta's age, but I assume everybody else was around that age. But yeah, that's probably a good point, you know, considering.
But yeah, where she gets her period in the shower and she just has such a reaction where, you know, she doesn't know what it is. She doesn't know what it is. She thinks she's dying.
She doesn't know what it is.
And she runs out naked into the locker room, blood on her hands, asking for anyone to help her because she thinks this is it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm bleeding. And everyone, at first they're shocked and then they just start laughing at her and then they start throwing tampons at her.
Hmm.
And then gym teacher has to come in and start kicking ass. Teacher of the Year Award, 1976.
Hero. This is why they make posters and, you know, like, this is when teachers started becoming heroes.
Yeah.
But I noticed some things on this rewatch and I can't wait to talk about them. But one of the things is I really like how she went to bat for Carrie. Like she stood up when she had to stand up, but when they're all in the principal's office and Carrie's right outside the principal's office and she reveals to the principal that she wanted to. It was so chaotic that she felt like she wanted to slap Carrie around too.
Yeah.
Like that is a hell of a revelation to tell your boss whom you don't give a shit about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a weird moment. Cause it's like, You can't see that nowadays, like in jobs like that, where people like let their guard down, because everything can be used against you.
But,
you know, this was, you know, 50 years ago. So it's interesting to have, you know, teacher essentially with her boss, like be open like that and not have it be a thing. You know, it's just like, I wanted to slap the bitch too. She's acting daffy. What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
And she does have a heart and she understands like, holy crap, this girl is being raised in such a way where she doesn't even know what her period is. Like it's,
Right. Yeah. Because she's got this instinct that probably 99% of women who are not teenagers anymore and throwing tampons at Carrie. Like she was there and she realizes maybe whether she had guidance or not. Somebody needs to be there for Carrie because she's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And so she kind of kicks in and like at least tried to explain to Carrie, like, and she knows what the home life is like. And it's so she really steps up no matter what her instincts were from, you know, trying to not have time or the patience to deal with somebody as such an extreme case as Carrie, you know.
Yeah, God.
But through the whole GD movie, it's like that. She's there, and it's just so. Which, as you said, it all ties together. It all comes together at the end. But like, that's just one of the threads that at the end, man, it's just like, that's it. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it all goes up in flames because somebody pushed Carrie a little too far.
Yeah,
you know. And she had fortunately, she had a long fuse.
Yeah, the other thread in this is the whole, is it telekinesis? Is that the right term for this one? Okay.
Yeah.
And God, I love how this, you know, they don't explain it. They don't have, you know, they don't have some goofy shit or like. She went to her fortune teller and, you know, accidentally got, I don't know, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. She just has this power. I love that she just has it and it's coming out probably with her move into womanhood.
Yeah.
When she gets her period. So she's, so her, The Shining, I guess is what it's called in the Kingverse. And she just starts to be able to do things, you know, close doors and make things fall.
Flip ashtrays.
Yeah. I just love the way it's handled. I love that it's not, it's not all, that's not like her whole thing. Like it doesn't like totally transform who she is. It doesn't define her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about this story. It's just, it is just a part of her and it's just a manifestation of her, growing young mind and her, anxieties and frustrations and
yeah,
it, you know, she doesn't have to, you know, turn into Jean Grey, you know?
Yeah. Right. It doesn't take that turn. It's just an underlying plot point or something, you know, but it's minor.
Yeah. And it only becomes dangerous when John Travolta and Nancy Allen go harvest pig's blood.
Sissy Spacek and her mom, Piper Laurie plays her mom, both nominated for Academy Awards for this movie.
Wow. I believe it.
Insane.
Who won? Do we know who won that year?
Not those two.
I was thinking about Little Dale watching this on the TV for the first time.
My symphonic.
And thinking, your symphonic, and thinking how neutered the language must have been, because the language that comes out of these teenagers' mouths is so biting and real. Like, it's like, you know, this is how teenagers talk. And just Nancy Allen and John Travolta together, like this toxic relationship, alpha male and alpha female, just going at each other, just slapping each other.
They're like made.
Oh my God. It's so disgust. Like they're just the perfect villains in the piece. Like they just don't care about anyone else. And they're just, you know, Nancy Allen's just going to take it too far. Once she gets her prom ticket pulled by the gym teacher, she's like, all right, who's the weakest person I can zero in on to make their life hell? Oh, Carrie White.
Right. Of course. Because she decided to go to the prom.
Yeah.
If she didn't go, you know, I would have targeted somebody else. Nancy Allen is amazing.
Oh my God.
She's amazing in this movie.
So good.
In all the worst ways. I mean, you, how do you come out of this movie not hating Nancy Allen as a person?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know,
like
she'd have to be a,
her character like is like the girl in high school, where, like you're equal parts afraid of her, but also you want to take her to the prom really bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because, you know,
because she's like the
coolest, the crazy ones,
coolest one in the room, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the way, you know, her gaggle of followers,
God,
they just obsess. PJ Souls, like number one.
Oh yeah, loyal soldier.
They just obsess what she's up to. It's insane. And Nancy Allen, she's just got this bloodlust, like when Travolta goes in to kill the pig and she's just like, she's got red in her eyes. She's just loving, like in her head, through her eyes, the whole prom scene is already unfolding because of this pig getting brutalized so they can, you know, use its blood.
Yeah. And like while Travolta's like raining down blows with the sledgehammer, like she's yelling, kill, kill, kill or something?
Yeah. That's,
oh my God.
Yeah.
That guy from Miami Vice chickened out. Couldn't do the pig in.
Yeah, he couldn't do it. I mean, he was like a poor man's Chris Penn.
He's fantastic.
He was like a poor man's Chris Penn.
I think my favorite interaction between two characters in the movie is when that guy talks the head of the prom committee into letting him do the ballots. Just the way he walks all over this guy.
Oh my God, yeah.
Social engineering, they would later call that, what he just did there.
Just yeah, sure.
Incredible.
With it, yeah.
Incredible work.
Oh, it's so sick. Sick work. And, you know, I really like how one of the gaggle, Sue, really breaks off.
Sue Snell.
When she gets a, when she gets a week's detention, she, you know, and Miss Collins really, I think, knocks some, like, talks some sense into her and makes her realize, like, Carrie's a human being and deserves, maybe you don't have to like her, maybe you don't have to be nice to her, but she just deserves some kindness, like a human being should be treated. And I love her arc.
Yeah.
And I really think it's come, you know, it's hard to tell up almost until the very end where it's coming from. Is it coming from a place that's malicious? Is it coming from a place, for like a real deep-hearted, you know, is she trying to just be kind to Carrie? And it takes a while to kind of like unfold that and figure that out. Especially when, you know, William Catt isn't falling for Carrie, obviously. He's still with Sue Snell, but, you know, how does Carrie start, you know, feeling about this? Like, William Catt's just being like this Prince Charming. And I just hope, you know, by the end of the night, I don't know where I'm going with this. Like, was Carrie going to be okay?
Yeah, I think that's what's really, I think that's the interesting choice about this movie, is that you don't get that answer. Like, you don't get to see what happens after the prom because everyone dies.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. Because, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, we could pontificate all we want, or
yeah.
I could.
Yeah, I know, but I'm right there with you. Like, it's like the whole time you're like, I know they're just doing it because they're trying to, like, I don't know, win points and feel good about themselves. But at the same time, like, as the date of the prom goes on, like, I just keep thinking they're having a really good time. Like, I think, you know, it feels like William Catt's, like, walls came down. And he's like, you know what? Why would I act like a jerk to her now? Let's just have fun. And it really seems like he's like, you know what? Let's just have a fun night. It's going to be fun, you know?
Right. And when you see Sue, you know, notice Nancy Allen under the stairs, and like, she genuinely wants it. She doesn't want anything to happen to Carrie. But what happens when, you know, William Catt has to go back to being friends, just like the Dave Matthews Band song, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's the weird thing too. It's like William Catt and Sue Snell are like together.
They're together.
But Sue's just like making him go out, you know, with Carrie. Like, it's such it's a very awkward thing. And he even kisses Carrie and stuff. And I'm like, you know, that's a little unbelievable, because like, I'm sure if Sue Snell was like peeking into the prom window and saw them kiss, she would be like, oh, maybe this wasn't a good idea. I'm feeling bad about this.
Yes. Yeah, right. Because you just don't know how Carrie's going to walk away from it. You know, she went from one extreme to the other. She went from like the lowest of the lows to getting kissed by the prom king and genuinely having a fun time. There was a scene when he gets her out on the dance floor. There's a scene that's purposely like shot behind one of those star decorations that are hanging above their heads. And I wonder if there's like symbolism or something there, because they purposely went to that part of the gym floor and like there's this beautiful like shooting star decoration directly above their heads, or directly above her head. What does that mean, like, for later on when there's a bucket of pig blood above their heads, you know?
Yeah, it could just be, you know, it's just the moment that Carrie's feeling right now. Yeah, we all know the pig's blood is there the whole time. That's what I love about, I love that we know it's there the whole time. Like,
yeah.
But you still get wrapped up in like Carrie's like dream night where you're like, oh, this is going really good.
Uh-huh. Like, wow, I'm not, you know, I'm not total dirtbag to these people right now.
I do want a second though, you bring up Amy Irving, Sue Snell, unsung hero of the piece. I feel like she's
totally
incredible. And also, I, not because of Carrie, somehow I ended up, you know, that Michael Jackson song, Liberian Girl.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the music video, but apparently outside of the US, that was like the eighth single off Bad that they released. Didn't release it here. And there was a music video, and I read the Wikipedia entry for the music video. Still haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it. Anyway, it lists all of the famous people that Michael Jackson invited to be in this video. I guess what he did, he got them all together in like a soundstage, and but we're secretly filming them, I guess.
What?
So I don't know. I got to watch this video. I don't know if it looks like a weird snuff movie or what. But anyway, but it's a huge list of people. And I was just like clicking on names. I was like, Amy Irvin, I know that name. And then I was like, oh, she's in Carrie. Oh, that's weird. And then I realized, oh, she was there because Steven Spielberg was there because they dated in the 70s. They might have been dating during this when they made Carrie.
Wow.
And then they broke up and then they got married for like 5 years in the 80s.
Whoa. Amy Irving and Spielberg.
Yeah, which I had no idea.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And she won a lot of money in the divorce because the prenup was written on a napkin. I learned that last night as well.
So it didn't hold up?
Didn't hold up. What...
Oh my God. Also, Brian De Palma and Nancy Allen, a couple after this movie.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. There is, back to the prom. William Catt says, like, you look really beautiful tonight.
Yeah.
Carrie says, I know I don't, but thank you anyway.
Hurts. My heart bleeding.
Punch me
everywhere.
Punch me in the stomach. Yeah. Punch me in the stomach.
God damn it, Carrie. I love the quick cut during the prom. Quick cut to the cutting board in the kitchen at home, and we just see Carrie's mom slam the knife down onto the butcher block.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think she
Zero
does it like
room.
Twice and then they it
Zero
cuts back
room
to
on
the
that
prom.
Counter.
Oh, it's yeah. a nightmare kitchen.
Oh, she's a nightmare.
Oh my God. I love that. Like, we're not even going to like, oh, let's check back home with mom, see her like, you know, do some acting. No, it's just a knife hitting a cutting board. Like she's just stewing. That's all we need to know. It's beautiful visual storytelling.
Another symbolism thing that I maybe picked up on, maybe I'm just overthinking it, is when she's sewing towards the beginning of the movie, when she's sewing and Carrie comes out of the prey closet, she's sewing on a sewing machine that's like white, white sewing machine company. And it made me wonder if there was any symbolism there, because what does the sewing machine symbolize if it's white? Like, is that the mom? Because their last name is White, you know. I'm not smart enough for that kind of stuff. But
I also, I love the quick scene of the boys shopping for tuxes.
I love that. That could be my favorite interaction of the whole movie.
There's a thing about this movie that gives me, and this is speaking your language, Dazed and Confused vibes, where I start to think myself, God, would I have had a better life as a teenager if I grew up in the mid 70s? You know?
Dude. Yeah.
Was high school more fun in the 70s? Like, I'm sure it wasn't. Right. I'm sure it was the same as what we had, but it just seemed more fun.
Yeah, it did.
It seemed like you could get away with more. Yeah, get away with more.
You could go to
a
tuxedo rental place in the 70s and rent the actual tux that you're renting. You don't have to go to a dry cleaner and look through a catalog.
Yeah. You go down to Main Street to get that tux.
Yeah.
You know?
And they just got tons of tuxes for you right there.
Right. Yeah. We're ready. Every year this comes, so we're prepared.
We got stock.
God.
You don't have to place an order in triplicate on paper and pick it up in 5 days.
It's like you're renting a car. Nightmare.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite because you know what? They don't get into Carrie. They don't get into shitting all over Carrie. It's just like they're all gonna have fun, and even his friends are kind of accepting his situation.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna have fun.
And I think that definitely makes it definitely makes you think like William Catt's character is like, you know, he's like he's not an asshole. Like he starts out an asshole, but then you're like, well, maybe, you know, he's just like, you know, maybe he's just gonna, you know, do a good thing here.
Yeah.
Oh, but the thing that when they're in there trying on tuxes and that there's that section of their dialogue that's sped up. And they sound like chipmunks. It always drives me crazy. Yeah. Like, why? Yeah. What do they say there? Like, has anyone? I'm sure someone slowed it down and figured out. Like, why did De Palma do that? Like, that always drives
me
crazy.
Yeah, that was weird. Mm-hmm. That was very weird.
Yeah.
The big thing that blew me wide open.
Yeah.
My heart wide open, and you know, shot it with a shotgun. The deed has been done. The awfulness has been done. Carrie is covered in pig blood from the bucket. And only in Carrie's mind is everybody laughing at her?
Mm.
I never noticed that before. Not only PJ Souls is the one that's laughing. Everybody else is, everybody else is stunned, and they feel like shit for Carrie.
But the they never slowly fade in the crowd laughing. Like everyone's like she's hearing everyone laughing, but it's we're seeing it, and it's only PJ Souls.
Because we're seeing it through. Yes, exactly. And then we see like that kaleidoscope view. Yeah. That's like her eyes going crazy. Like she's so rattled that she sees everybody. They show scenes of everybody laughing, but that's her looking out at the audience.
Wow. That's a,
that's what she sees.
You know what I picked up on too? They like in the middle of that, they cut to backstage of, it's not even, it's the same room. It's the gym of John Travolta and Nancy Allen leaving, like getting out from under the stage. And it's dead quiet, like it, like on that cut.
Oh,
it's dead quiet, and you're like, oh, they did they shoot this like after the whole, everyone was gone, so it has a weird dead sound to it. It's like
I didn't
but
even
it just,
notice that.
It just made me think of what you're saying. It's like, oh no, yeah, only Carrie's hearing the laugh. That's amazing. Oh
wow, we just put look at us. We just put these two things together, and they just completely cemented like a different. A different finale.
Somebody sent an email to Mr. De Palma and tell him we figured it out. We're right there with him.
If anybody else, if anybody else, if De Palma hasn't guessed, you know, if De Palma fans haven't guessed by now, we figured it out, and just point them towards Bat and Spider. But it was staggeringly, heartbreakingly, the whole ending is just, you know, it's just makes it 10 times worse now. And I never noticed it before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And every time I watch this, I'm like, yeah, I know what happens. Pig's blood. Jim sets on fire. But it is incredible to watch that happen. Like, just how it all unfolds so slowly. And that look on her face and that just the slow motion camera on her.
It takes forever.
She's shutting doors. She's turning the hose on the crowd.
Yeah.
She's electrocuting the English teacher. Oh, by the way, that's the English teacher,
that's
our boy.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, Sidney Lassick. Yeah,
yeah
Sidney
yeah.
Lassick.
Incredible.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
God, who isn't in this movie? And God, yeah. And it's just the horror you feel like when she finally leaves the gym and you realize everyone's trapped in there and it's on fire. And you're like, oh my God.
Oh, dude. Oh my God.
And then the quick dispatching of Nancy Allen and John Travolta who try to run her over. Mm-hmm. But when they first cut to John Travolta in the what is going on there? It's like they cut something because he almost looks like he's super drunk and he's wiping drool away from his mouth. It's almost like they had some other scenes of like of other stuff with them because it's like it's weird. I don't know. It's a weird thing to But then they just get. Carrie rolls.
Yeah, then I forgot that they made it. I forgot that they made it out of the gym as well.
Yeah,
but servingly so.
And then I mean,
and Sue Snell makes it out. I mean, but Miss Collins, William Catt, they don't make it out. No. You know, it's crazy.
But if we're gonna be honest, did Sue Snell really make it out of that gym that night? I don't think she did.
Dude, you brought me back down to earth. With that one.
And
you're
I always forget Carrie goes home, stigmata's her mother, or what's that called? On the cross?
Crucifies her.
Crucifies mom, just like the glowing eyes in her closet.
Glowing eyes. Yeah. Glowing eyes Jesus had her mom's haircut.
And yeah. And then the whole house gets swallowed up and dragged down to hell. Every time I see, I forget that happens, and it's such a surreal, crazy thing, but it makes so much sense, and it's like,
yes,
it's the perfect like ambiguous, unbelievable thing to end this movie on, where you're like, you're like, whoa, the house just got swallowed up into hell, and there's nothing but charcoal left in a pit, like was that Carrie's doing, or was mom right all along and Satan was working within her and Satan brought them down, right? Ah,
you got to wonder because there was no like reaction. Carrie wasn't, she didn't have the face of like willing it happening. You know yeah. what I mean? So,
but you know, you could all make the argument that her, that the act of killing her own mother made that's, yeah, everything Jesus, go that's haywire, and her powers are just
yeah.
on autopilot, causing chaos. But
I completely forgot that the scene was that long.
Yeah, I kept looking at the clock. I'm like, there's so much left in this movie.
Yeah,
I always forget like all that other stuff that happens.
Just crazy,
man. Well, we're running up against our own clock, Dale, because we gotta record other stuff for these lucky listeners. but man,
yeah,
great idea. We are blessed to be able to relive Carrie on home video anytime we want. It's a great yeah. thing.
Yes. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Hope you guys watch. Hope you guys watch Carrie if you haven't yet or want to rewatch. We're sorry for spoiling it for you, but it's an amazing movie. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the winners.
All right.
I give you Tommy Ross and Carrie White.
Yay!